Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. My special guest tonight, backed by popular demand, is Raymond Francis, and we're going to be talking about his new book, Never Be Fat Again, the 6-Week Cellular Solution to Permanently Break the Fat Cycle. Welcome to the show, Ray.
Well, thank you once again for inviting me. It's good to be here with you.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, you have got a wealth of information to help people, and I love bringing that to the listeners, and we had quite a few really nice comments about the last time that you were on. And I know there's a lot of listeners sitting there with bated breath waiting to hear all about how to never be fat again.
And it's so easy to do.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I've read your book, and you have some really good, solid information in here in an easy-to-read manner, which I love, because half the time I spend my time, you know, talking to people 4 or 5 times about the same thing because they don't get it. So this is really kind of nice. It's very, very easy. It's got all the pertinent information in it. And let's start at the very beginning. What causes overweight?
Well, overweight is a disease. And all diseases only have two causes, deficiency and toxicity. When cells are not getting what they need to operate properly, or when they're getting something that interferes with their normal operation, that is what causes disease, and overweight is a disease. Mm-hmm. And the reason, you know, the reason I wrote this book is I had people coming to me over and over again with the same story. They'd say, you know, I've tried everything. I've worked so hard. I've done whatever I know how to do, and I cannot lose weight. And a lot of these people were, I mean, they were just really highly motivated. And they had gone on diet after diet. They had done some pretty extreme things trying to lose weight. So these were not lazy people. So I started thinking to myself, why is it that these highly motivated people cannot lose weight permanently? And yes, they lost weight. They would lose some weight, and then they would gain it back, only they would gain back more weight. Well, now we know the largest study ever done on diets was completed last year and published. And what they found was that diets don't work. People who diet actually end up weighing more than people who do not diet. So doing nothing is actually better than going on a diet.
And you know, I can attest to that.
Yes, yes.
I'm a prime example of that.
Well, as it turns out, on almost any diet, you can lose 5 to 10% of your weight, but you won't lose it permanently, and that's the key. And here's why you cannot lose it permanently. Overweight is a disease. The weight, the excess weight, is merely a symptom of the disease. So if you try to lose weight, all you're doing is addressing the symptom. You are not addressing the true causes. It's just like, you know, if you have a cold and you hold your nose and you say, well, if I don't sneeze, I won't have a cold. Well, yes, you will. And it's the same way. If I lose some weight, I'll be accomplishing my objective. And the answer is no, because overweight is a disease. In order to get rid of this weight permanently, you have to cure the disease. And that's what my book is all about. Never Be Fat Again is not a diet book. It is a cause and effect breakthrough that gives the reader the knowledge to reverse the causes that created the excess weight in the first place.
And that's an interesting thing when you talk about knowledge. I mean, I'm a naturopathic physician. You didn't start out that way. And maybe we ought to go into your little scenario of what happened with you that got you turned around into this whole field, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember you talking about in your book about being a businessman and, you know, having this huge marketing company. And go ahead and give the listeners a little background.
Well, first of all, I'm a highly trained scientist. I'm a graduate of MIT, but I went into the business world. And then back in 1985, I started, I almost died. I took ill. My doctors completed that, and they gave me drugs that poisoned my liver, and I was inches from death. And the doctors gave up hope. They said that my death was a medical certainty. And at the last moment, even in my delirium, and at that point I was so far gone, I was literally dead, I used my own knowledge of biochemistry to save my life. Mm-hmm. And then it took me 2 years to restore my health to where I could function once again and go back to work. And this odyssey really got me thinking. It started me thinking about, well, why do people get sick? Mm-hmm. What is disease? How does disease happen? What has to happen to take a sick person and make them well? Rather, correction, take a well person and make them sick. Mm-hmm. And if you want to reverse that, how do you take a sick person and make them well again? What do you have to do? And I started getting answers to these questions.
Yeah, yes, right questions.
Yeah, but then I realized that the average person would not be able to use the information that I was accessing because it was highly complex biochemistry, very advanced molecular biology, and I realized that, yes, it would help me, but it wouldn't help anybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wrote my first book, Never Be Sick Again, because I wanted to take that very complex biochemistry and reduce it to something that anybody can understand and put to use in their life. And the Never Be Fat Again is just a continuation of that, specifically directed toward people who have excess weight, and giving them the key, really, to understanding why they're overweight and how to lose that weight permanently. And, of course, the key is, first of all, understanding that overweight is a disease and that all disease only has two causes, deficiency and toxicity. And here's how it works. There are two major control mechanisms in your brain. One of them is the control mechanism that controls your appetite. So that tells you, I'm hungry, I'm not hungry. There's another control mechanism, and the body has to regulate itself. It regulates thousands of parameters. It regulates your body temperature. It regulates your blood pressure, regulates your hormone levels. It regulates thousands of things. Well, one of the things that it regulates is how much fat is in your body. And it wants to keep you in a normal range. Well, there's a fat control mechanism in the brain that tells the body to store fat when you don't have enough or burn fat when you have a little too much. These two mechanisms get screwed up by deficiency and toxicity. And what can happen is your appetite control can get stuck in the on position, and your fat storage control can get stuck in the on position, so that you will gain weight even if you cut your calories. And I've had people come to me and say, I eat like a bird, and I'm still gaining weight. Well, guess what? Their fat control, their storage control, is stuck in the on position. The body is being instructed to store fat, even though they've cut their calories.
Oh, yeah, that's very common. And I've told people when they come to me and ask me how to lose weight, I look at them and go, well, first of all, I know every way there is to lose weight. I don't look like it, but I'm real good with helping other people. But because I'm doing the same thing you're talking about in your book, I'm looking at those parameters, and I explain to people about how you know, once you've got this process started, it's not a normal thing to be able to lose weight by cutting your calories. It doesn't work. It
doesn't
make your body go into starvation mode. And then you gain more weight, and it just keeps on going like that. It's a vicious cycle.
Exactly. You understand it so well. It's a vicious cycle. And guess what? When you get into that cycle, what they found is that people who do yo-yo dieting double their risk of dying of a heart attack. They increase their risk of dying of all diseases, of premature death from all diseases, and they do permanent damage to their immunity. So yo-yo dieting is actually very dangerous. And that's why that study that was published last year, the largest study ever on diets, concluded that the benefits of dieting are just too small and mm-hmm. that the potential harms are just too large to recommend it as a safe and effective treatment for overweight.
So well, yeah, and then the problem with this kind of stuff, too, is that, you know, with that additional gaining that happens, you know, you further put your heart at risk and, you know, further increase your capacity for stroke and for autoimmune diseases and things like that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you don't want that to happen. And overweight itself, of course, is a very serious disease because the weight doesn't just sit there. You know, that fat doesn't just sit there and stare back at you in the mirror. It is biologically active, and it is producing a flood of free radicals, a flood of other chemicals that increase blood pressure, a flood of even hormones. You know, estrogen is produced, and as we know, excess estrogen drives breast cancer, drives prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
These are very, very dangerous things, and the fat is doing that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, damaging your DNA, damaging your tissues, prematurely aging you, and making you susceptible to all kinds of diseases. So even if you're 5 pounds overweight, we can already measure biochemical abnormalities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a good thing.
Yeah, it's really scary. In your book, you talk about, you know, the four major things to stay away from. And before you go into that and explain that, I would just like to comment on the fact that the four things that you're talking about actually increase the enzyme aromatase. And aromatase converts your hormones. And so for men, it'll take the testosterone, convert it into estrogen, which increases prostate problems and actually leads to prostate cancer. And in the women, it takes the estrogen and converts it into testosterone. So then we get the, you know, the spare tire around the middle and the facial hair and get angry and all that kind of stuff. So it's equally bad for both sexes.
Absolutely, equally bad for both sexes. And people think that, well, you know, I have a few extra pounds, and it's okay. I'll just buy a bigger dress or a, you know, a bigger waist size for my pants, and it's okay. It's not okay.
No, it's not. It's really, really dangerous. And you know, I've talked before about how I've had men that came in and they said, well, they're about to put the radioactive needles in my prostate and, you know, my PSA is out the roof, but my testosterone level is good. And I go, really, did anybody check your estrogen? And of course they haven't. And then I check it and everybody thinks I'm crazy because I'm checking what they consider to be female hormones, but we all have the same hormones.
Exactly. You're just way ahead of the curve. You're just on the cutting edge. And what these other folks don't understand is that the science is there. We just need to start using it, and you're using it. God bless.
Oh, yeah, and it works. Raymond, I can't tell you how many times I've had this happen where the man's estrogen level came back sky high. I wish I had estrogen levels that high. I'm jealous looking at him, and their testosterone level's up. But the minute I give them the stuff that stops the conversion, then, and, you know, get them off of the foods like the sugar and the wheat and the alcohol and wrong fatty acids and the stress and all that kind of stuff. As soon as I get them out of that, all of a sudden their PSA level goes down to zero. You know, the swelling in the prostate goes down and it becomes healthy again. And
right.
The testosterone level drops to a normal level.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a simple thing. And so for all those guys out there that are saying, well, you know, I just got the spare tire and I'm a little bit more tired. I don't have the fire in the belly. It's like, dudes, you know, you are on the way to prostate cancer.
Exactly.
And it's dietarily controlled.
And their doctor isn't telling them that.
They don't know it.
No, they don't know it. They're so far behind the science. But we have to understand, here we have this terrible disease, this chronic degenerative disease, and people who are overweight have a much higher probability of ending up disabled. And who wants to end up in a nursing home, you know, drooling out of your mouth, being wheeled around in a wheelchair with tubes stuck in you? Nobody wants to do that. And yet your probability of that having that happen to you is so much greater if you're overweight. So you don't want this to happen. Well, why is this happening in our society? Here we are, we think we're the most advanced people in the world, and we're really starving to death. We have malnutrition, and malnutrition is a cause of overweight, because when you are short certain nutrients, for instance, you can be short calcium, you can be short omega-3 fatty acids, and 90% of the American population is short omega-3 fatty acids. You can be short certain nutrients, and that will turn on the appetite control in the brain, and that will turn on the fat storage control. And so you end up being hungry all the time and eating a lot and storing all of it as fat.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is learn how to eat a good diet, get on a good supplement program, make sure that you're giving your cells everything they need, and that will shut off the appetite control, and it will shut off the fat storage. Now,
you know, I can tell you that when I did fasting and cleansing years ago, I dropped 100 pounds in a year without really trying, and
yes,
other than doing the fasting, because I was so heavily toxic at the time. That
right.
was before I got poisoned. But I was just toxic from the American diet.
Well,
and
that's...
I discovered that when you start cleansing, and you start really nourishing your cells, you don't need to eat nearly as much. So I would put food in the refrigerator, the normal stuff that I would buy, and at least 4/5 of it would rot. I couldn't even eat it because I was starting to nourish my cells the way that they needed to be. I was juicing and, you know, using all organic stuff. But it was kind of disgusting to see 4/5 of your organic food just spoil, you know.
Well, you've made another very, very good point about toxicity. I read, you know, to write my book, Never Be Fat Again, I read all of the popular diet books. Not a single one of them identified toxicity as a major cause of overweight.
No, so, really?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, you read the Atkins diet and the South Beach diet and the, you know, the Zone diet and all these very popular diet books, not a one of them is going to tell you that toxicity is a major cause of overweight. And my book, Never Be Fat Again, is the first book on the market to tell you that toxicity is a major cause of overweight. And what happens is, folks, that just as having a nutritional deficiency will jam the appetite control and the fat storage control, so will certain environmental toxins. So if you're exposed to these toxins, they'll jam the appetite control, jam the fat storage control, and make you gain weight and keep you hungry. And I'll give you a specific example. I had a man who was 100 pounds overweight, and he had tried everything. He had yo-yo dieted his way up to over 100 pounds overweight, and he was so discouraged. I mean, he was when he came to me, he was saying, you know, it's got to be genetic. I just can't lose weight. And he was trying. He was on a good diet. You know, I looked at what this guy was eating, and I mean, I'm sure if you looked at it, you'd say the same thing. Hey, you're eating a good diet.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? He was drinking diet sodas that
Ooh.
Contain aspartame, and aspartame is one of those chemicals that will jam the appetite control and jam the fat storage control. And he was also eating at a favorite Chinese restaurant that, guess what, was
MSG.
Putting MSG in the food.
And, phytotoxin. Uh-huh.
And MSG is another toxin that will jam the fat storage control. So I told him, look, get off of these diet drinks and stop eating the Chinese food at this restaurant that puts the MSG in. And guess what? The 100 pounds melted away like an ice cube in the July sun.
Man. Well, I believe that. I mean, you know, I've seen it in myself and in other people. When you take the toxicity out, then that's, you know, that's usually the thing that's been holding them back.
Exactly. But most people don't know that. They go on the diets and they count the calories and they, you know, avoid the carbohydrates or they avoid the fat or they don't realize that it's the toxins that are packing on the pounds.
Well, yeah, nowadays it's so easy to get toxic. I mean, it's everywhere.
Exactly.
No, it's in our homes, it's in the sky, it's in the water, it's in the genetically modified foods, and I'm really glad you included that in your book, by the way.
Yes.
This Never Be Fat Again, people, you've got to get a copy of this book. Raymond Francis has written something that has all of the stuff that you need to know to be healthy and to get rid of the weight. It's all in one concise little package. And, I mean, this is amazing. I was so glad that you put that in there because people have no idea. You go to the grocery store, they used to tell you when your foods were genetically modified. And now they don't even tell you. And when I read in your book that 75% of all of the food in the grocery store is genetically modified, I about fell off my chair, Raymond.
Right.
I had no idea.
Either genetically modified or contains genetically modified ingredients. And yes, people don't know this. You know, they do polls and they ask people, do you want to eat genetically modified foods? And most people say no, and yet most people are eating genetically modified foods and they don't even know it.
Well, yeah, and who knows what's going to happen with those things. Nobody knows what it's going to do to the physical body.
Right.
It's kind of like the whole thing with the trans fats. You know, for years they told us that, you know, margarine was the best way to go and blah, blah, blah. And then they, you know, after many years of people getting sick on this stuff, they finally discovered about how it takes away the fluidity of your cell membrane because the body doesn't know what to do with it. It's not a real fat.
Exactly.
Fats have to go into your cellular membrane, and your membrane should be flexible and, you know, should really be kind of a fluid thing. And the trans fats stop that. So here you are, you know, now we've got genetically modified foods. Oh, my God. What's going to happen?
We don't know what's going to happen, and that's the problem. It might turn out to be just fine,
mm-hmm.
but the chances are it won't. And
mm-hmm.
that is really scary because once you make this mistake, once you introduce this into the environment, there is no way to bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
It is gone. There's no way to bring it back, and the damage could be incalculable. I just think it's one of the dumbest things that we've ever done. And as a scientist, I have to tell you, genetically modified foods scare the heck out of me.
Oh, me too. And then, as you were talking about in the book, the cross-contamination has happened between soy and corn. So even if you're eating organic stuff, you may have a genetically modified version.
That's
just
right.
Because it gets cast upon the wind.
Yes. In fact, if you want to avoid genetically modified foods, you can no longer eat corn or soy in the United States because they're all contaminated. Now, a few years back, it was something like 6% that organic soy contained about 6% genetically modified. The last number I saw, it was already up to 12%, and that's going to increase every year, and that is scary.
That is way scary. I mean, just looking at the debacle that happened with the trans fats, you know, and then with the synthetic fats that they created and how they had to pull those off the market. And, I mean, you look at those things and you go, you know, just because you can do something as a scientist doesn't mean you should. And they've just run amok and they've done these things. And, of course, the bottom line is money. And so they've done it for money. And the whole problem is we don't know what's going to happen. You know, the human body has now been subjected to an array of things that can make you sick and kill you long before your time. And this has never before happened in human history. And so, you know, I can tell you, I've talked to plenty of doctors that have no idea what to do with some of these things that are cropping up.
No,
you know, there are
don't.
Things they've never seen before, cancers they've never seen before.
Right.
You know, they don't even know what to call them. You know?
Exactly.
They just look at it and they go, huh,
yeah.
I've never seen this before. I don't know what it is.
We're doing it to ourselves, and it's scary. But here's what people need to do. There are things we can do to protect ourselves. I mean, we live in a toxic world. The average American is in toxic overload. That's all. That's the bad news. We live in a toxic world. The average person is in toxic overload. But here's the good news. 80% of the toxins we're exposed to, we have personal control over. So simply by learning where these toxins are and avoiding them, you can cut your toxic load by 80%. Now, that's pretty darn good. And in fact, in Never Be Fat Again, I have a whole chapter on toxins and where they're found and how to avoid them. And that is really important.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. There's a whole section there in your book about the toxic products that people use in cosmetics. And, you know, here we're doing all these anti-aging things. And, you know, it's not just women now that are vain creatures. It's men, too, you know, the metrosexual things. And so here we are. We're putting things on our face that are supposed to keep us young and using creams and emollients. Ugh, can't get my tongue around that one today. Some days are like that, you know. Creams and emollients and things like that. That are supposed to erase wrinkles and keep the skin supple and everything else. And I'm so glad you included a list of the things that are in these products to avoid.
Right. Well, you know, a number of years ago, they did a study, and they found that Catholic nuns had the best-looking skin of any women. And the reason? They didn't use anything on their skin. And here's the problem, folks. When you put these things on, they contain chemicals that damage the skin. For instance, almost all of them contain preservatives. And you will find preservatives, there's a whole class of preservatives called parabens. And if you want to find out, you know, go to the bathroom and get your skin cream or get your whatever and look and see if it has any parabens in it, methyl paraben or propyl paraben, the whole class of parabens. Well, let me tell you something. Parabens will damage sublayers of the skin worse than a severe sunburn.
And it's ironic that they put all those things in sunscreen.
Yes, they put them in sunscreen, exactly. So you are damaging the skin worse than a severe sunburn by putting these lotions on your skin. Well, no wonder we're looking older. People need all these facelifts. And,
yeah.
And Catholic nuns look young and beautiful because they don't put this junk on their skin.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good point. And that brings up an interesting thing, too. You know, when you go to a physician, the physician has to tell you the party line. If they don't, then they are subject to disciplinary action.
Yes.
As they're not doing things according to community standards. And, you know, I've said often that the lunatics are running the asylum, folks, and I mean it, because the lunatics are the people who are deciding that chemotherapy is good and that you have to put on sunscreen and all this other kind of stuff. And I always tell people, yeah, you know, you have to use sunscreen, and then I try to explain to them in some other manner that maybe you'd want to look into this a little bit more. You know, and I have to tell them that the standard treatment for cancer is chemotherapy. And you know, it sticks in my craw, as they say, that I have to say these things to people. And if I don't, I could lose my license.
Yeah, you have to say it to people, and it's a tragedy.
Oh, it's horrible.
It is.
Like I don't use sunscreen. I mean, I have some.
Well, it's crazy.
If I use it, I get a worse sunburn than I ever got if I didn't use any.
Yeah, you got to be crazy to use sunscreen. It is absolutely the worst thing you want to do. The sun is an essential nutrient. It's just as important as vitamin C and vitamin B vitamins. And it is an essential nutrient. You cannot live healthy without it. Repeat, you cannot live healthy without it. And one of this nonsense about keeping people out of the sun has done incalculable amounts of damage.
Oh, they get depressed, too, because of the lack of vitamin D. And then, look at the chemtrails. They're blocking out the sun as much as they can and claiming it's global warming, which is a bunch of crap. And, you know, I mean, and plus they're poisoning us with all these things in the chemtrails. I mean, you know, it's such a toxic situation, and the means that we used to have to keep ourselves well are going away rapidly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, if you get depressed now and you go to the doctor, you will be put on mood elevators and psychotropics and all kinds of things. And, you know, I have gone into this with people so many times. You cannot heal your emotional traumas as long as you're on drugs.
Right. You cannot heal anything on drugs because drugs interfere with the healing process.
Exactly.
They're toxins.
Yeah. So I mean, we've got a serious situation here. And, you know, I read something, oh gosh, it was some time ago now. They said 50% of all Americans are overweight. And I'm sure that it's worse than that now. You can tell.
Yes. The last number I saw was two out of three are overweight.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And they're projecting it's going to go up to 75% in just a few years.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I know it gets so difficult at a certain point. You know, I mean, we all laugh about it, you know, as we get older and go through menopause and andropause. But, oh, yeah, well, you know, now I've become my mother or I've become my father or whatever. Well, the problem is, yes, you are toxic and you need to clear that out. But if you've had other damaging things that have happened to you, it becomes even more difficult. And, you know, once you've crossed that path to where your metabolism is no longer working properly and you've done organ damage, then you got a problem, and that's the situation I'm in at this point. You know, I got poisoned to where I almost died, and, you know, it knocked out pretty much every organ system I had. I barely survived that. And,
well, you and I have some similar history there because I literally came within inches of death.
Yeah, well, me too. And I've had doctor after doctor look at me and shrug. You know, they think they know what's going on. They go, oh, you're toxic. You know, we're going to clean you out. Okay, great. I'm no stranger to fasting and cleansing. You know, I used to do it every 2 months regularly for years. And, you know, and I used to do 40-day water fasts and all that kind of stuff. So it doesn't bother me to do this stuff. But I found that, you know, after that point, when that poisoning happened, it was so much more difficult. And I finally got to the point where I just threw my hands up and went, okay, I've been all these doctors, nobody can figure it out. I can't figure it out, so I'm just giving up. Yeah. But I can tell you, people, you got to address these overweight issues before it gets to the state like I've gotten to. I mean, it's really, really rough, and it doesn't feel good. And then you start damaging your bones and your joints, and you know, you actually, most people are going to go into an autoimmune disease pretty quickly with this stuff.
Yes.
You know, chronic fatigue is completely natural when people start getting toxic like this and overweight. Gosh, I mean, it impacts your life in so many different ways. And, you know, then you can't even help yourself out of that situation.
Well, I've been there. I've done that. And I know what it was like. And it was pretty awful. It was absolutely pretty awful. I don't wish it on anybody. And that's why I started writing books on the subject to help other people to understand where they are. You don't want to get sick, folks. You really don't want to be there. You don't. You want to prevent it. And preventing it is so easy. You just have to learn a few simple things, get off of the processed. The most important single thing is get off of the processed foods. Stop eating those farm. And people don't, you know, I tell people, get off of processed foods. They don't even know what a processed food is.
No, I know. And they say, well, you know, this is healthy. This should be good for me, right?
Right, exactly.
Oh, no, what part of processed didn't you understand?
Yeah, well, they don't. They think, well, a loaf of bread, is that a processed food? Oh, no, it's not processed. Well, of course it's a processed food. It comes out of a factory. You have to take that wheat and you have to grind it up into a powder. You have to, you know, it's a processed food. And, you know, a bottle of milk, they buy that. You say, well, is that a processed food? Oh, no, it's not processed food. Well, of course it's a processed food. It comes out of a factory. It's been pasteurized. It's been homogenized. It's, you know, breakfast cereal. Is that a processed food? Oh, no. And they don't realize that these things are processed foods. They are not appropriate for human consumption. You need to eat things as close to nature provided as possible. Fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh whole grains. These are things as nature provided, not the things that come in cans and jars and bottles and packages.
Yeah, and not the heavy meat consumption either. And, you know, my spiritual teacher, Dorkin, used to talk about, you know, it was so important to eat organic and to grow things yourself. And he used to say, do you know what man needs to eat? And everybody was on the edge of their seats, you know, expecting some really complex diet. He said, two fruits, handful of cereal, cup of milk. And he meant fresh milk, preferably goat. And he said, that's it. That's all you need to eat for a day. And he said, if you can get it, you know, fresh, organic, unprocessed. And, you know, when he said handful of cereal, he meant, you know, like just oats, you know, chew it right out of the plant. Or, you know, a half a handful of one kind of nut and a few grains, you know, something like that. And he was talking about just exactly what you're talking about. It has to be unprocessed. It has to have plenty of natural fiber, natural oils, and things like that. And it has to be not messed with by man. Now, that's unrealistic for a lot of people. So, you know, what we have to do now is figure out how does that fit into our lifestyle.
Well, you have to put it into your lifestyle. A lot of people have to do it slowly. They can't do it all in one fell swoop, and that's okay. In fact, in Never Be Fat Again, what I have is a six-week program to help people gradually get on a better diet and avoid toxins and improve their health and lose weight permanently.
Yeah, and that's really important because you've given them the six-week solution here. You know, they need guidance until they get used to it. I mean, when I put somebody on a diet, I tell them, you've got to give it a month. You know, and you'll be fine after a month or so, but you've got to have the time to actually change everything that you're doing.
Exactly.
And so the fact that you include the six-week program and you have some menu items in here and things like that, you know, they can start on it and keep referring back to remind themselves why they're doing this. And, you know, you've got your daily fat accountable, daily accountability chart. And, you know, you really have people looking at the fact that they're making better choices. And you give them better choices.
We do.
So I think this is really an important thing. You know, you didn't just leave people hanging out there wondering how to do it.
Exactly. We give them a roadmap to doing it, and it's so simple. And once you do it, it's remarkable. My co-author on that has a favorite saying, and I'll tell you what it is, because she was overweight, and she tried to lose weight for a very, very long time and never could do it. She got on this program, and she lost weight, and she's kept it off, and she loves to say, nothing tastes as good as health feels.
I like that.
Yeah. And she used to feel tired. She used to feel, you know, and now she's vigorous. She's filled with energy. She's happy. She's just sailing. So nothing tastes as good as health feels. And anybody can feel that health if they want to.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing for people really to consider. And you know what I'd like to say to people, too, is even if you don't think that you're overweight, I had one lady that came in. She was a marathon runner, and she was tall and slender, but she had a paunch. And, you know, she had, like, no waist, and she was a little bit bloated. She'd had cancer a couple times. I thought she was going for cancer a third time. She looked like it. She was gray. And she just came in saying, there's got to be something else I can do. And so I detoxed her and, you know, put her on a diet that was better for her blood type and such, and, you know, started really hitting the things that help the liver to detox. This woman lost 40 pounds. You could have knocked me over with a feather. I had no idea she had 40 pounds of bloat on her. She didn't look like it. She was skinny.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. And I see it all the time myself. It happens all the time. It's so easy. That's the best part of it is it's so easy. Anybody can do it, and it enhances your health. And as she says, nothing tastes as good as health feels. Once you are healthy, that feeling is so wonderful.
Oh, yeah, you feel alive. I still remember what that feels like. I'd like to get back there someday. And I'm going to give your six-week solution a try. I've been traveling around the country, so it's been a little bit difficult, but now I'm home for a while. So I was thinking as I finished this book, you know what? I'm going to do this. It hurt. Might really help.
Well, anybody can. And it isn't something that some people, it takes them a while, and we understand that, and it's okay. It's just if you know where you want to go, and you keep on walking, you'll eventually get there, and that's the key.
Exactly. You know, it all starts with one little step. And the thing I like to tell people, too, is, listen, don't beat yourself up if you fall off the wagon once in a while. You know, just brush yourself off, you know, pick yourself up and start again.
Right.
You know, and just keep on in that direction. And I like that you mentioned that kind of thing in the book, too. You know, you basically told people, all right, so, you know, if you go and you eat normal again and, you know, it's hard to get back to it, it's okay, just get back to it. And eat that way most of the time.
Exactly.
It's kind of like the secret of how to cheat if you have to. You know, and we don't want to go into something thinking that we're going to cheat on it. However, the reality is that sometimes you just forget, especially if somebody's new to it, you know, it's their first 6 weeks on it. They might forget, you know, or they might say, oh, you know, I'm just going to go do this once. And then they feel the results. And that's when you get a convert. You know, I've told people before, I put them on the blood type diet. I tell them, give me 3 weeks of being absolutely strict. Don't vary by a mouthful. And I know on the 22nd day, they're going to call me up and say, well, I just figured, you know, it's no big deal, and I'm feeling pretty good. And I went back to eating my favorite foods. Oh, my God, I feel so sick. I feel awful. And I tell them, you know, at the beginning, you don't have to call me. I already know what's going to happen. And so I was reading that one story where you're talking about the couple that was doing pretty well, and then the mother of the one guy insisted that they eat normal at some wedding reception.
Yeah, they went to a wedding reception, and the mother-in-law was embarrassed at their diet, and she just sort of begged them, you know, at least for today, eat like a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
And they fell off the wagon. It took them months. They were both addicted to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And once they just had some more sugar, it took them months to get back to where they were before.
Oh, yeah, people don't realize it's a sugar addiction.
Yeah.
And when I read in there also that people used to eat about 10 pounds of sugar a year, and now how much was that, 260 pounds or something?
It's over 160 pounds of sugar a year now. Here's a dangerous metabolic poison that nobody should ever be exposed to, and we're eating the average person 160 pounds a year. Well, of course, I eat maybe 1 pound a year, if that much. So somebody else is eating my 159 pounds, and I think I saw that person the other day on the sidewalk.
Yeah, it wasn't me. I'm probably somewhere, I would say I'm probably somewhere around the 10-pound a year thing, mainly because I eat out, you know, and so there's a lot of sugar, maybe more because of that, because there's a lot of sugar that goes into preparation of foods in a restaurant because they have to make something that you will just be crazy about. And the two things that people are crazy about are sugar and fat. And so if you put those things in, well, and salt, you got to add the salt in there too. So you add those three things to pretty much any food, and you're really going to enjoy it, and you're going to go back to that restaurant, and they're in business to make money. So I think that eating out is one of those evils that that makes it kind of difficult because you don't know what they're putting in there.
That's right. You don't know what they're putting in there. And I'll give you an example. You know, we talked about these toxins, glutamates that they put into food. And they put that into, it's a flavor enhancer. It makes things taste better. Last year I was in Mexico and I was being entertained by two people. Took me to this very, very fancy restaurant. The bill for the three of us was $500 for dinner.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, $500 for dinner. The food was to die for. It was some of the finest-tasting food I've ever tasted in my life. But let me tell you something. That evening, I was unable to sleep. I was awake all night because to make that food taste so great, obviously, what had happened is that the chef had loaded it with glutamates, and the glutamates were destroying my brain, literally destroying the brain. That's exactly what they do. And they kept me awake all night. So here you go to an expensive restaurant, and you're still being poisoned by glutamates. That is really amazing. I mean, pizzas, you know, a commercial pizza is going to be loaded with glutamates, and people don't know. They buy pizza for their children. They don't realize they're destroying their children's brain.
Yeah, and maybe we ought to tell people here that when MSG is in something, it can be under a number of different names. So monosodium glutamate, or MSG, is also known as hydrolyzed vegetable protein. It might be in there just as glutamate. They might have it, you know, mixed with something else, so it doesn't say, you know, monosodium. I mean, there's all kinds of things. The problem is that once you ingest it, it's not a question of how many brain cells it's going to kill. It's only a question of how long is it going to take. If you have a small amount, you know, you're going to kill whatever amount of brain cells, usually within about 24 hours, as opposed to if you have a large amount, you'll kill them within 2 hours. So that's the only difference.
Yeah, it's not a very good choice, is it?
No, the brain cells still get killed, no matter what. And some people have severe reactions to MSG. I had a doctor that wandered across my threshold one day looking like a crazy person. I had him on the show a couple times. He's actually an authority on Morgellons disease. And I was trying to talk to him, and his eyeballs are rolling back in his head. I said, "Are you all right?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "I ate lunch across the street, and they must have had MSG, and I'm extremely sensitive to it." So I took him in the office and stood him underneath a negative ion shower. And within 2 minutes, his eyes cleared up. I said, "Wow, I had no idea that that could wipe out the effects of MSG." Now, I don't know if it saved his brain cells, but he at least woke up. And there are so many people that have like a narcoleptic reaction to this stuff.
Another reason to stay away from processed foods. About 80% of all processed foods contain glutamates.
Yeah. And
the same thing with restaurant foods, and especially fast food restaurants will have, what is the magic secret ingredient in these magic sauces, you know, secret sauce? It's MSG. It's glutamates. That's the magic ingredient that gives the flavor to these things. And we're being poisoned by them, and our children are being poisoned by them, and it's causing attention deficit and hyperactivity and all kinds of problems.
Well, it's unbelievable, I know. And it's so toxic. And again, I keep going back to the whole toxicity question in the overweight condition, because as soon as you get rid of that toxicity and the body starts to function again the way it's supposed to, and your cells start to work correctly, everything gets better. You know, diseases, long-standing chronic diseases will just fall away.
Exactly.
You know, and I found in my patients, I've had several people who were diabetic and, you know, didn't want to admit it. And I tell them, well, it doesn't mean you have to go on insulin, you know, as long as we can back you out of this. And within 6 months, I've got them, you know, free of diabetes. But I tell them you can't ever go back to eating the way you were eating because you'll get it back again. And you know, I mean, people think that that's a death sentence. When you get diabetes, it's over.
Yeah, tragic, because, you know, type 2 diabetes, you can cure that in weeks. It is
exactly.
So simple, and yet they're told it's something they're going to have to live with for the rest of their life.
Oh, yeah. You know, the drug companies like that.
Oh, they love it.
Doctors.
Buy stock and drug companies.
Yeah, really. And so, I mean, there are some people that really do need insulin because their pancreas islet cells have been destroyed, you know, usually by a flu bug or something. But, you know, but if you've still got a few cells in there that are healthy, you can bring it back. But you've got to stop eating the sugars. And, you know, sugars are in so many things, too. You know, high fructose corn sugar is one of the worst things on the planet. And, I mean, it's in everything. Things
right.
That you wouldn't think.
Right. It's in everything. And, again, stay away from processed foods. I mean, here are all these bad things like high fructose corn syrup and glutamates and genetically modified organisms. And stay away from processed foods and eat organically grown fresh fruits and vegetables and whole grains. That's the key to health.
Yep, I agree. Now, that's going to be difficult for a lot of people to do. You know, it's a pretty pricey proposition.
Actually, it's cheap. You know, I've found in my experience that people I've worked with, when they go on a good diet, on average, they cut their food costs in half.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sure, organic foods cost more, but guess what? When they stop buying all that really expensive breakfast cereal and the Coca-Cola and the ice cream and all the, it's processed foods that cost the money. I mean, go to the store and look at a box of breakfast cereal and figure out how much that costs per pound, and then go to the health food store and get some organic whole grain and see what that costs per pound, and the difference is just enormous. I mean, it costs far less to eat well than to eat poorly.
Oh, yeah, and you know, they don't have to do breakfast cereal. I mean, when I was in med school, you know, we learned about, you know, the different blood type diets and stuff. I thought, oh, great, you know, I'm a type O, so that's a very restrictive diet. And I sat around and I figured out, well, what could I eat? Well, couldn't have dairy, couldn't have wheat or corn or barley. And so I thought, okay, well, then pretty much all I can have is a handful of almonds and some figs and prunes. And so that's what I ate. I'd bring it in the baggie. I'd sit in the back of the class, and I'd be munching on that, you know, because you also have no time when you're in med school, you know. You have no time for all these frivolous things like eating and doing laundry and things like that. But, you know, I was much healthier by eating that stuff. That's probably one of the things that saved my life, too. Because I was eating healthy most of the time because I didn't have time for anything else and I didn't have any money. You know, so between the two, you know, you go to the health food store, you get the really good stuff, you eat a little bit of it, and, you know, you're fine.
Well, that's the key. The key is to eat real food. And in some parts of the country, it's hard to obtain. And I realize that. But you have to do the best that you can. And so no matter what the circumstances, make the best choice that you can. And that's why in Never Be Fat Again, I've provided people with a lot of choices so that depending on their circumstances, they can choose what's best for them at any point in time and do better than they ordinarily would. And then, of course, taking supplements is very important because you cannot get enough nutrition if you eat a good diet. And even the National Academy of Sciences came out a few years ago and said that even if you eat a good diet, it is not possible to get all the nutrition you need. And here's why. The food is so depressed today. It's so deficient of nutrients that even if you eat a good diet, you cannot get what you need. And I'll give you a specific example. There was a study published last year. They found that, say, a carrot today, you've got to eat 4 carrots today to get the same magnesium you got in 1 carrot 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You got to eat 10 to 20 carrots to get the same amount of zinc that you got in 1 carrot 50 years ago. So you have to supplement today. The problem is most supplements are junk. So you have to learn how to choose them. And indeed, I wrote a report on that, and anybody that wants to get it is again, certainly welcome to get it for free. You can just go to my website, and the website is beyondhealth.com. That's two words stuck together, beyond and health, beyondhealth.com. And right on the front page, there's a very prominent button that says free reports. You just click on that button, and you can get access to 2 free reports, and one of them is called The Roadmap to Ultimate Health, and the other is called The Roadmap to Choosing Supplements, and they are both cutting edge. They can both change your life for the better. They're available for free. Go get them.
I'm going to go get them so I can hand them out to my patients, Ray.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I tell you, I'm, you know, at this point, there's probably about 50 people in the country that know how to put a vitamin pill together and make it work. And I'm one of them. I've been studying vitamin chemistry now for 20 years. And it is not easy to put a vitamin pill together that really works. It takes a lot of knowledge, a lot of care, and a lot of extra cost. But you can do it, and you can make something that is just miraculous in its effects. So but people need to learn what to take and when and why to take them and how to take them. I just talked with a man the other day. And he lives in Wisconsin, and he's taking a multivitamin, and he asked me to look at it. And he's concerned about vitamin D because he knows that he's not getting enough sunlight up in northern Wisconsin to get the vitamin D that he needs. So he's taking this supplement. Well, I looked at it, and guess what? The form of vitamin D in this vitamin was cholecalciferol. Now, cholecalciferol is indeed vitamin D, and it's good, and there's nothing wrong with it. But here's the problem. It requires, it gets into you, into your body, and then it requires sunlight in order to convert into the biologically active form of vitamin D. Well, he's taking it because he doesn't have any sunlight. So here he's taking vitamin D that he can't convert into the biologically active form, so it's totally useless. And that's what's in his pill. You need to put in a form that is easily convertible by the body into the biologically active form. And these are the subtleties that just go on and on and on in putting a good vitamin together.
I told people about that, too. When I give a lecture, you know, beginning health lecture to people, one of the things I do is discuss their supplements. I have them all bring in their supplements, and I look at them and tell them, well, throw this out. Throw this out, or give it to the homeless people. You know,
junk.
Something's better than nothing.
Yeah, most of it is junk. And a lot of it's toxic. You know, another very common ingredient, for example, is vitamin B12 in the form of cyanocobalamin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, cyanocobalamin is very difficult to convert into the biologically active form, so it's not a good source. But here's another thing it does. It actually crosses the blood-brain barrier, goes into the brain, and will actually remove mercury from the brain, which is a very good thing because people have too much mercury in their brain. But guess what? It leaves cyanide behind. So you're exchanging, say, you know, mercury for cyanide. I mean, hello. And that's jumping from the frying pan into the fire. There are people that say, well, gosh, we know that's bad. And we know that the biologically active form is methylcobalamin, so we'll put methylcobalamin in our pill. But guess what? The body very carefully regulates how much methylcobalamin is in the blood, so when you take it and you increase what's in the blood, the body very quickly gets rid of it so that the half-life of methylcobalamin is about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want a few minutes worth of vitamin B12, that's okay. What I use is hydroxycobalamin, which is the perfect answer. It has a long half-life in the body, easily converted into the biologically active form. Wonderful solution. Well, why doesn't everybody use it? Well, real
it's
simple.
Expensive.
It costs more than $3,000 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are the subtleties here that the average person who doesn't understand the chemistry has no idea what it is they're taking. And that's why I wrote that free report. Everybody should get that. Go to beyondhealth.com, hit on the free reports button, get yourself a copy of the roadmap to choosing supplements.
Excellent. And, you know, we are about out of time here. So, I'm glad that you gave the website so people can contact you through the website. I think they are probably fascinated listening to you. Raymond, I would love to have you on the show again to talk about supplements.
Well, I'd love to come back, and it's one of my favorite subjects.
Excellent. Well, we'll have to schedule that because I think that what you've done, I could almost hear a bunch of ears pricking up as you started talking about these differences, and it's one of my favorite subjects because it's so, so important. You know, you want to get the most bang for your buck. So, so definitely we'll have to schedule that, and I'll call you after the show so we can talk
wonderful.
About the time
wonderful.
To do that.
And
thank you so much for being on the show, and I know the listeners will be running out to get your book. So
Never
get
Be Fat Again, folks.
yeah, definitely. Now, how can they get your book, Raymond?
Major bookstores, Amazon.com, BeyondHealth.com, and I'll give you an 800 number. If you call the 800 number and buy a copy, I will give you a free one-year subscription to my email newsletter. This is a cutting-edge newsletter. It is really on the cutting edge of science. It's fabulous. Free subscription for 1 year. Just buy a book. And the number to call is 800-250-3063.
Okay, 800-250-3063.
Got it.
And buy a book, and they're going to get a free one-year subscription to your newsletter.
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
Wonderful. And thank you so much for inviting me on the show. It's really been a pleasure. It's wonderful to be with someone like yourself who is as aware and concerned and providing leadership. I mean, God bless you for what you're doing for all your listeners. It's a true service.
Oh, thank you. Well, I love doing it. You know, it's one of those near and dear things to my heart, you know, so any time that I can bring some information to someone that helps them like this, this is awesome. So I think that when we have you on to do the supplement thing, people are going to be taking notes. They're going to be accessing that archive a lot.
Happy to do it.
Yeah,
we'll have
great.
Some fun with it.
You bet. So thank you so much for being on. We've been talking with Raymond Francis, and listeners, I hope that you've enjoyed that, and tune in again when Ray is back to talk about supplements. We'll figure that one out in a few minutes. So, as usual, thank you for listening, for tuning in, and listeners, you know, you make it all worthwhile. So I'm happy to be here to bring some of this knowledge to you. And until next week, which is going to be with Steve Barish, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. 99.